Good evening. Welcome to our Ash Wednesday service. It is a blessing to be gathered together today to begin to prepare ourselves for our Lenten journey as we join our hearts and minds, as we prepare to draw closer to God and prepare our hearts for the celebration that is Easter. I would like to ask you to please join me in our opening prayer this evening. On this sacred day, we come before you with humble hearts, acknowledging our need for your grace. From dust we came, and to dust we shall return. Yet in your love, we are more than dust. We are your beloved children, called to repentance, renewal, and restoration. As we begin this Lenten journey, search our hearts, O God. Reveal to us the places where we have turned away from you. In your mercy, draw us back. As we receive the ashes, remind us that true life is found not in earthly things, but in your everlasting love. Breathe new life into us that we may walk these 40 days with faith, courage, and a renewed spirit. May this season of transformation, where we turn from sin and embrace abundant grace you so freely offer. In the name of Jesus Christ, who leads us in the way of life and hope, we pray. Amen. If you would please rise as you are able, stand as you are able for our opening hymn, number 396, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Our first scripture reading this evening will be Psalm 51, and we're going to read this as a call and response. And so please follow the screen, and you are all the all. So let us begin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Cleanse me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a contrite heart. You, God, will not despise me.
Hear us, holy Jesus. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that by your giving it may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much for, reading the scriptures, and thank you for being here tonight to help us celebrate the beginning of our Lenten journey, and I pray that the words and the songs that we sing together would allow you to center yourself and prepare yourself for this season of preparation for Easter Sunday. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who loves us even when we struggle to love ourselves. Amen. Well, this is kind of a unique and odd service. You come into the service and you walk in, and maybe you've had experiences with Ash Wednesday previously. Maybe this is your first Ash Wednesday service, but you come in, feeling clean and welcomed into the space, and you'll leave with a smudge mark on your forehead. Though it might be later on in the evening tonight, you may even find yourself in a grocery store or a Meijer, and somebody might even kind of give you that sign like, hey, you've got something on your forehead, like just wipe it off, like trying to give you this sort of nice tip, right, to care for you so that you don't feel put out or awkward with a black mark on your forehead. It's interesting that people of faith throughout the scriptures have had this moment throughout the course of their lives where they too have covered themselves with ashes. And it happened over and over again in the scriptures, particularly when people were experiencing some kind of low point in their life. So Job, perhaps you're familiar with this story, had this moment, this experience after having prosperity and a life filled with fruitfulness. He had a wife and children and a farm and animals, and everything seemed to be going well for Job, and all of a sudden he finds himself with this, complete and total loss, this devastation where he loses nearly everything, and he covers himself with ashes and has this moment where he wrestles with whether or not he is the righteous man and the person that God imagined him to be, or if he had somehow done something to separate himself from God's grace. Tamar, in this moment of brokenness and weakness after she had been taken advantage of, covers herself with ashes in the scriptures, and she is wrestling and deep yearning for the restoration of her own wholeness. In the Gospels, Jesus talks about perhaps it would be better for you to cover yourself in ashes and repent of your sins. Jonah goes into Nineveh and he advises the people in Nineveh to cover themselves in ashes to make up for the decisions that they had made to turn around from God, and that's exactly what they do. There are all kinds of stories in the scriptures, and Daniel covers himself in ashes. There's stories throughout the Bible where people cover themselves in ashes in this moment where they recognize that they've sort of hit rock bottom. Before I was appointed to come here to Brighton, I was serving as a pastor in Detroit, and in Detroit, you meet all kinds of people just like you do anywhere else in the world, and I was walking the streets one day, and I noticed that there was this guy walking around with tons of chains around his neck, and they weren't just like little necklaces. They were big, heavy, metal chains that he was wearing around his neck. And as soon as I saw this guy, I was like, I need to talk to him. I have this attraction, to people who stand out, and their chains were clinking and they were making all kinds of noise as he walked down the street. And so I went over and said hi to him and connected with him, and he was just walking, and he was sort of hunched over. And as we got to talking, he shared with me that each of the chains that he was wearing around his neck symbolized a particular moment in his life where he faced some kind of challenge. The man at one time was living a prosperous life. He was happy. He was well out in the suburbs. And suddenly things start getting taken away from him, just like Job. And every time something happened in his life, he bought a chain to commemorate that experience. So when he lost his house, he bought a chain. When he lost his relationship that he was in, he bought a chain. When he became disconnected from his kids, he bought a chain. And he walked around with all of these chains wrapped around his neck, clanging as he walked down the streets of Detroit. He also was struggling with mental illness, and part of his story was wrapped up in that. It's part of the reason why he went through all of these other things. And as I looked at him, I couldn't help but see, thinking that the chains were an outward and visible sign of what was going on inside his heart. They all had a story. They all had a connection to part of his life journey. And when I was pastoring in Chicago, a lot of the young adults that I was pastoring had tattoos, and they were oftentimes very willing to roll up their sleeves and point out a tattoo that they had picked up somewhere along the way, and they were happy to tell some kind of story about an experience that they had in their lives, something that they wanted to share with others about. And the tattoos were sort of like an outward and visible expression of something that had taken place in their life. The ashes that you're about to receive on your forehead function in much the same way. They're an outward and visible sign of you being marked by the God who's loved you from the moment that you drew your first breath, and the God that will love you through the moment that you take your last. They're an outward and visible sign, and it's weird. Like, why would you take dirt and rub it on your face? What is that all about? And it's one of those acknowledgments that ultimately the world is not as God intended it to be. And we're a part of that. As much as we wish that we were perfect and above reproach, and if God looked deep inside our hearts and looked at all of the actions and things that we've done over the course of our life, I'm fairly confident, and I can speak for myself pretty easily, that it would not take God very long to start figuring out some things that I have done that I'm ashamed of. Part of marking our forehead is acknowledging that we have a part to play in the ongoing brokenness of the world. There are moments that we should have done something to make the world a better place, and we failed to do it. We lack the courage, we lack the conviction, we lack the strength or the fortitude to do what we knew was right. Part of the mark on our forehead is acknowledging our own brokenness, that we are not the people that God created us to be yet. The other part of that mark, I think, is far more powerful. Most of us don't need to rub our face in the mud to recognize that we're not quite the people that God intended us to be. But the other part of the mark, the reason why we make that mark in the shape of a cross on our forehead, is to remind us that even in our darkest moments, even when we feel like we're laying flat on our face, even when we're in the basement and all the lights are turned off and we can't imagine the world getting any better than it is or any worse than it is right now, it's precisely in that particular moment that God says, I love you despite all of your faults, despite all of your failures, despite your moral shortcomings, despite the things that you've done that you hope nobody will ever figure out about, despite the things that you look at your parents and you're like, I hope they never find out about this. They're going to die before they do. God looks at you even in those moments. And Jesus looks at you even those moments and says, I love you even now. When you're standing up on an altar and a couple's about to get married and you meet with them beforehand and they go, oh, Pastor John, we want you to read 1 Corinthians 13 and love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It all sounds beautiful and poetic and lovely. And you're standing up there, and sometimes as a pastor, I look at them and I'm like, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into. Lindsay's laughing loud. Amen. Touche. And yet, as your relationship develops, as it continues to mature and grow, and you find yourself loving your partner or your kids or your parents, not necessarily because they're perfect or because they have everything together, But my hope is that you can love them in spite of their shortcomings, in spite of their failures, even with the totality of their brokenness, for the things that irritate you. When they load the dishwasher and it's the wrong way of loading the dishwasher, when they put the toilet paper on the wrong direction and you're just like, come on, we've been over this 100 times before. Or whatever the case may be. I think that's true love. And part of us gathering here to mark our foreheads is an acknowledgement that even in our moments of greatest brokenness and weakness, God loves us in those moments just as much as God loves us when we're packing up all the meals for the NOAA Project in Detroit and moving them to another part of the church, or doing the prayer stations up in the chapel, or reading the scriptures throughout the entire season of Lent, or growing in our faith through prayer on a daily basis. God loves you as much when you're laying on the basement floor as God does when you're serving in missions at CAS. It never changes. What a powerful thing to have marked on our forehead, a reminder that there's nothing that we can do to ever separate us from the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ. Throughout the course of this Lenten journey, Ash Wednesday is the beginning of this 6-week period that we have in preparation for Easter Sunday, the celebration of the resurrection. And for thousands of years, Christians have taken on some form of spiritual practice to prepare themselves for Lent. Some people are like, I'm giving up chocolate. And other people are like, I'm not going to eat any sugar. Good luck. Other people are like, no caffeine. Stay away if that's the case. We don't want to deal with all of that. Needless to say, I want to encourage you to do something else during this Lenten season. If those are your spiritual practices, I respect that. I encourage you to take them on come what may. But this season is an opportunity for you to devote yourself to growing in your faith. And throughout much of Wesley's ministry, he encouraged people to take on spiritual practices like reading the scriptures, offering yourself up to some sort of daily prayer practice, advocating for justice in the transformation of the world. My hope is that throughout this Lenten season, you can commit yourself to growing spiritually, and I wonder how the world could be different if you take seriously this call during the Lenten season to allow yourself to be transformed so that you can become a little bit more like Jesus Christ. Maybe you feel called to serve in missions. Maybe you feel called to roll up your sleeves and get to work in our own community to try to transform our little corner of the world. Maybe you feel called to fast from some sort of meal. Maybe you feel called to committing yourself to listening to a daily lectionary verse or daily devotional that might get coming through the smartphone or an app. Whatever the case may be, I encourage you to take on a spiritual practice. I believe that this can be a season of tremendous spiritual growth. I want to close by telling you a couple of stories. There was a guy in the Deep South named Brian Stevenson, and many of you probably haven't heard of his name before, but this guy was an activist, and he was also an attorney, and he decided it was his calling to go out and find people who were due for capital punishment in the South for committing some sort of crime or another, and he started his early career as a lawyer by advocating for people that he was absolutely convinced were innocent, yet they were facing some form of capital punishment. They were going to be put to death, and he would go meet these folks and get to know their story and try to stand up for them so that they would not be put to death. And multiple times early on as a lawyer, he would go before the judge and the jury and he would advocate for these folks. And over again, the juries and the judges would uphold their convictions. And these folks were ultimately put to death, even though this man was absolutely convinced that they were innocent. And he found himself one night wrestling with his calling. He was an African-American man himself, and he was mostly representing minorities in the South that he believed were subject to completely unjust court systems. Eventually, he was laying awake one night, and he was wrestling with whether or not he should continue on doing this work. And he heard a voice inside his head, which was actually repeating words that his grandmother had told him when he was a kid. You are a child of God. Never forget that. And he wrestled with what that meant. And he recognized that in that moment, his grandmother, who had said those words to him over and over again, was giving him the very words that he needed to take the next case. Sure enough, the next case that he took, he was able to overturn a conviction, and somebody who was about to be wrongfully convicted and put to death by capital punishment was set free. And then he did it again, and he did it again, and eventually this man, Brian Alexander, was a part of allowing 100 convictions to be overturned of people who had been wrongly convicted in their first attempt through the court of law. And he founded an organization called the Equal Justice Initiative, which would go on to exonerate over 350 people who were wrongfully convicted of a crime through their first trip through the trial. In some ways, when you come forward and receive these ashes, what we're saying to you is you are a child of God. Never forget that. Anne Lamont, who is a prominent Christian writer, was a recovering drug addict and alcoholic, and her struggles with addiction were well documented. She wrote about them a lot in the books that she's published, and one day she got to the end of herself and she recognized that she was completely incapable of turning her life around by herself, and so she proclaimed, "I quit. I want a new life. I want to say no to the addictions that have, you know, absolutely had their grip on my life for years and years and years, and I want to get my whole life back." And from that day forward, she allowed herself to get clean, and she's written, you know, many, many books that have been read by countless people across the world who have experienced the grace of God through her writing. In the midst of that moment, she was surrounded by people who loved and cared about her, who nurtured her so that she could transform her life and give her life to God. Part of coming forward and receive these ashes is an opportunity for us all to say, "I quit. I quit the person that I used to be. I don't want to be like that anymore. I want to be a new creation, a brand new child of God." As we come forward this night and we get marked on our foreheads, part of our proclamation is, "I want to be better in the future than I was in the past." Perhaps you've heard of Father Greg Boyle, who started an organization called Homeboy Industries in LA, and he was incredibly gifted at reaching folks who were part of gang activity in the city. And one of the kids that he was able to impact was a guy named Jose, who he rescued from gang life, and he welcomed him into this community, and he was talking with him and witnessing to him, and this guy was able to get clean from his life and gang activity, and he's now become a mentor for other folks. The first time that he got a real regular paying job, he cried as he received his first paycheck because he was so relieved about the fact that he was able to transform his life, and he no longer felt like every day he could lose his life to the gang violence that he was so near to throughout the course of his life. At this point, Jose is a mentor and has been a mentor to hundreds of other people who have left the streets and the violence of gang activity, and they've given their lives to Jesus, and they've said yes to a faith that it's allowed them to transform their lives. As you come forward tonight, maybe you're a little bit like Jose, and you're saying, "I not only want to say yes to what God has to offer me, but I also want to lead other people into a life of faith." And I want to let you know, if you find yourself in a restaurant tonight, or if you find yourself in Meijer and somebody leans over to you and is like, "You got smudge on your forehead," don't miss your opportunity to tell somebody that you too are a child of God, that you too are declaring that you quit your old life and you're beginning a brand new life in Jesus Christ. Don't miss your opportunity to take seriously the opportunity during this Lenten season to grow in your faith. This is your chance. This 40-day period of preparation is a great opportunity to read the scriptures. None of us are perfect. You don't have to be, but you're still children of God. Don't ever forget it. Amen. Throughout this season of Lent, we're reading a book that was written by Adam Hamilton. It's a book called Making Sense of the Bible. There are small groups that are meeting throughout the church. seems like almost every day of the week there's an opportunity for you to take a class. You can read the book by yourself and have an opportunity to grow in your faith. There's Tuesdays and a small group on Wednesdays, and there's opportunities on Thursdays and Saturdays. If you're interested in growing in your faith, this opportunity is a gift, we hope, to all of you to encounter the scriptures and grow in your faith. Throughout this season of Lent, I encourage you when you wake up in the morning to just get into the practice of some sort of prayer. God, I don't know how you'll use me today, but I hope that I won't be asleep at the moment that you're calling me to do something. God, the world is not as I imagined it to be. I'm sure it's not how you imagine it to be, God, but if there's any way that you can use me to make the world a better place, I hope you'll do that. Maybe you'll commit during this Lenten season to doing one small act of kindness for somebody else. I wonder how much better we and the world could be if we take God's invitation during this Lenten season to continue to grow in our faith. In a moment, I'm going to ask Pastor Lindsay and Pastor Loretta to come forward to help us. We're going to participate in the imposition of ashes. You don't have to come forward and receive the ashes. It's an open invitation for all of us, but it's an opportunity to be reminded that we came from the dust, and someday we will return to the dust from which we were created. It's an opportunity to remind us of our own mortality and the vitality of this moment that we have in our lives. It's an opportunity for us to commit to spiritual growth and a new life in Christ. It's an opportunity to be reminded that God loves us and that will never change. And so we remember that we came from that dust, that we are formed out of the dust, and someday we will return to the dust. Amen. So I invite you to come forward maybe by the center aisles, and you can return by the diagonal aisles, and we just invite you to come forward if you feel moved. We'll start in the front, and then we'll work our way to the back.
Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for the ash and the sign and the symbol that it means to us. We give you thanks that no matter what and always, we are your children of God, loved in your sight, forgiven and made whole and new this day. With glad and thankful hearts, we join together praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, as we close this service together, may your chains, your scars, your tattoos, and now even your ashes on your forehead not be a sign of shame, be a part of the story that you tell about God's transformational and redemptive and creative love. We are not who we once were. Thanks be to God for new opportunities, for forgiveness, for second chances, for the new life that is offered us in Jesus Christ. As we depart from this place, may you take every chain off your shoulders and put it in its proper place. May you look at your scars and allow them to be stories that you tell about the life that you've had transformed. May you all have new life in Christ. As we embark on this Lenten journey, may you depart from this place with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.